Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio for this Thursday, October the 29th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Tim here with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here on the show today.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, good morning all.
And Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Brother Ray?
Hey, doing good, Tim. How are you?
Good weather update from Kansas City, Kansas is what? Yeah,
kind of gray and cloudy, but no rain and no snow, so it's an improvement.
Okay, well, you got 45 today, maybe?
Yeah, that's about what we've got.
Something
like
that. Yeah. Well, folks, we want to remember our friends. We have many, many supporters and listeners. I know many of you listening have friends and family along the Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Gulf Coast in particular from yesterday. And that hurricane, is it called Zeta? Zeta?
Yeah, that was it, yeah. It came racing through.
Yeah, with 100-mile-an-hour plus winds.
Yeah.
And a lot of flooding along the shoreline, but the rain didn't sit down on anybody for a long period of time. But a lot of folks without power, three of our radio stations, Walker, are off the air.
Our New Orleans, our Burris, Louisiana station that reaches into New Orleans, and two others on the coast, which have been out multiple times this year with four or five different hurricanes hitting. I think this one was the fifth hurricane to hit the coast in that particular region just this year.
Right. Of course, we all know that's because of Donald Trump. Right, Fred?
Yeah.
President Trump withdrew us from the Paris
Peace Accord. Doesn't believe in climate change. Therefore, the hurricanes have hit.
You know, we went like 10 years without any major hurricanes after Katrina, I think, maybe one or two. But Al Gore is predicting the end of the world with these massive, vicious hurricanes that were supposed to hit, you know, and it didn't happen. And so weather is cyclical, is that what you call it?
Yep.
Weather patterns. And I personally don't believe in man-made global warming. Globe may be warming, but it's not because of man. Am I a science denier, Ray?
No. It's common sense. These things come and go. Hurricanes come, then we had a few years without many.
Right.
And we have really been hit in 2020.
Right.
Who knows what next year will be.
All right. So much to talk about today. Good news for the economy for President Trump today, right, Fred?
Wow. Yeah. Yesterday, President Trump, he was in Arizona. And he said, there's a big number coming out tomorrow. And he says, if that number is not good, don't vote for me. And I heard the president say that. And I said, boy, that's quite a claim.
I think he's been tipped off.
I think he's been tipped off. And was he ever? The latest GDP, the gross domestic product, basically, to put it very simply, that is a measurement of how the economy is growing. In the third quarter of this year, a record 33.1%. That number came out this morning. On top of that, unemployment numbers continue to go down. The number this morning, the lowest it's been since March. So people like Charles Payne, who is the, I guess, the main economist on Fox Business, here's what he had to say about the numbers this morning and what they mean. Cut number five.
It is absolutely remarkable. And let me tell you, I'm sitting here going through the data because the headline doesn't do it any justice. Durable goods were up 45%. Durable goods essentially are things we buy that we're going to own for 3 years or longer, like a refrigerator. Non-durable goods up 82%. Domestic investing, this is what we did as people, not businesses, up 83%. Residential investing, homes, 59%. 59%. I mean, these numbers are absolutely remarkable. But if you look at the details, it's even better than the headline.
Now, according to Joe Biden, the president made a horrible, horrible mistake by pushing to open up the economy again. Well, apparently not. Apparently, it's been working in dramatic fashion. And you can bet today when the president heads to Florida, where he's going to be making a few stops today. By the way, Joe Biden's going to be in Florida, too. You can bet he'll be talking about this.
Right?
Well, he should be. This is an astounding result. This is the highest one-quarter jump in recorded history. And it's an amazing rebound from the pandemic. So I think the president has been fully, he's been fully vindicated when he's been saying it, we've got to open the country back up. Good for him. And this, I hope the results move some of the undecided people in his direction between now and Tuesday.
Walker.
Yeah, this is excellent news for the American worker and the American consumer. The we had historic joblessness the past 6 months, self-induced due to the coronavirus shutdowns, business shutdowns and things like that. But this growth is good because it's showing that many of the people who were hurt by the shutdowns are now getting their jobs back and getting employed again, which is great news for families across the country. Also, I saw where job postings are up, getting back towards almost the levels they were pre-coronavirus shutdowns. So that's basically companies looking for employees on these various job posting websites. So all around good news, and we really don't need governors or a president in the future that will shut everything back down again and take
dark,
us back.
It's a dark winter coming, Walker.
That's what Fauci says.
No, that's what Biden says.
Biden says it too.
Does Fauci say that too?
Yeah.
Well, Biden said it's what did he say? A long dark winter on the way, Fred?
Yeah, a long, dark winter. He made that statement in the last debate last week.
Captain Optimism right there for America. That's what we need right now, isn't it?
You know, here's the reality, too. Tim, during our story meeting this morning, we were talking about the latest polls, and there's no question that things are getting really tight. A few weeks ago, Biden ahead in so many of these key states closed the gap in Florida, where both Biden and Trump will be today. They're at a tie. In fact, they're going to be in the same city today. The president and Joe Biden, president in Tampa around 1:30 this afternoon. Joe Biden, well, it'll be a little different. It's a drive-in theater type thing for Joe Biden. So there'll be...
Are they going to have the little circles?
Yeah, 15, 20 cars. Please stay in your car and keep touching your car. Don't move. Don't move any further. I'm not exaggerating. You heard this last week, folks. The advice was, during, I'm not sure it was a Harris campaign, Kamala Harris, or Joe Biden, please keep touching your cars. In other words, don't talk to people in the next car next to you.
It's like they're teaching a preschool class or something. God. Stay in line, folks. Stay in line. Good. One behind the other.
You know, Florida, important state, 29 electoral votes there. Kayleigh McEnany was on this morning talking about what's happening in Miami-Dade County. Now, Miami-Dade, most times when you look at election night, is a blue county down there. They're making, Republicans making big advancements there. One of the reasons she says is given, listen to this, folks. Part of the Republican ground game, they have 2.5 million volunteers going door to door. This is unheard of.
You're talking across the U.S., not just in Florida.
No. Okay. Right. 2.5 million volunteers going door to door talking to people about the election issues. Here's Kayleigh McEnany, cut number
one. You've got 2.5 million door knockers going door to door, right?
That's exactly right. We actually have what's called a ground game. Democrats didn't do that this year. They haven't been knocking on doors. And look, it's paying dividends, Steve. In Miami-Dade County, as of yesterday, we are 6 percentage points ahead of Democrats in the early vote. That is historic. That is historic turnout for Republicans. Statewide, we have won 10 days straight of early voting. We know Democrats typically have an absentee advantage, but we've been eating away at that. Two-thirds, in fact. We've ate away at their advantage by two-thirds. And on Election Day, when the Trump coalition turns out, we will win the great state of Florida. We will win this election.
So, a lot of optimism there.
You know, I was looking at the, I mentioned in our show meeting this morning as we prepared for the program. I know a lot of the pundits are saying, you know, this is Biden's got a 80-90% chance of winning the election based on the polls across the country. And again, I'm just going off the Real Clear Politics polls. And if you don't know what Real Clear Politics is, they take polls and they average them. So, you know, it's a lot of different polls that they use. And I was looking again this morning. I look at this often. And if I'm the Biden campaign, I'm the Democrats, I'm nervous. And I'll tell you why. I know that they've got the lead in a lot of, especially the California, Illinois, New York. We know that's going to happen. But I'm nervous because of this. I was looking at Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is going to, the whole presidential election could come down to Pennsylvania. The president will need Pennsylvania if he's going to win. But here's Pennsylvania, Real Clear Politics shows Biden ahead 3.5. Okay? That's almost within the margin of error. Now, that's an average of polls, so I don't know if you can include, quote, the margin of error on a collection of polls. Florida tied. Georgia tied. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that for a minute. Georgia's not tied. Again, eat my hat. If Biden wins Georgia, I will eat this hat. North Carolina, it says tied. Arizona, Biden up 1.3. So, I'm just saying, it's Ohio tied, basically. Mm-hmm. And Michigan's been Biden's pretty, he's going up 8-10. I don't, unless that's crazy off, president doesn't have much of a chance to win Michigan. Again, it could be crazy off. I'm not saying, I'm just
like
going.
Like it was in 16.
Yeah, yes, I'm going on these polls. I'm just, Ray, just, you predicted the other day, you think the president will win, but even in these polls that let's say Biden has a slight lead, it's not in these battleground states. It's basically tied or in Pennsylvania, Biden up 3.5. So if the president wins, if he wins Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio, which he won last time, and Arizona, which he won last time. All he has to do, as I understand it, is win Pennsylvania. That's assuming he wins Iowa, obviously, which some people say is close. You win Pennsylvania, you don't have to win Michigan, Wisconsin, or Minnesota. So
that's correct.
There's
Jim.
A reasonable what yeah. I'm saying. There's a reasonable road to victory here for the president, even if you go by the Real Clear Politics polls, Ray.
Well, first of all, you're exactly right about Georgia. There's no way in the world that's tied. Trump is going to win Georgia, maybe a little closer than it was in 2016, because if the world turns upside down and Biden carries Georgia, he's going to win the election. But that's not going to happen. Let me just say, I'm more certain about it today than I was 2 days ago. Trump is going to win because he's going to carry Arizona. Yeah, a lot of these states, Tim, are going to be close. Anybody who thinks that either candidate's going to win by 8% or 10% of the total right. vote, that's crazy. That's not going to happen. He's going to carry Arizona. He's going to carry Texas, Florida, North Carolina, Ohio. And then I think it does come down to Pennsylvania. And it's interesting to me, guys, that the president understands the importance of Pennsylvania because he's spending all day Saturday, three different stops, one outside Philadelphia, one in Reading, and then in the Pittsburgh area. He's throwing everything into it, into Pennsylvania this last weekend. I think he's going to carry between Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, I'm going to say he's going to carry at least two out of those three states and probably end up with over 300 electoral votes. I've seen some, one last word, I've seen some predictions of Trump somehow winning 272 to 268. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope it's bigger than that so that we don't have this thing dragged out for weeks or months.
Just to add some perspective, Tim, you just gave those numbers, how close they are. Stop and think about this for a moment. The energy is with the Trump camp right now. Those numbers are closing. Despite the fact, like never before, and I've been a journalist for 40 years, I have never seen the bias against one candidate that we've seen. The major networks, With the exception of Fox, MSNBC, CNN, the cable networks, all are out to defeat Trump, yet the energy is on his side. And I keep going back to these rallies. You look at what happened yesterday in Arizona. Trump gets thousands of people. They line up at 5 o'clock in the morning for a noon rally. Kamala Harris was in Arizona yesterday. I saw 15 to 20 people come up and congratulate her afterwards. There was nobody behind her. It was an empty field. And we were watching this in the newsroom yesterday, and someone said, here's the contrast. Here's the happy group over here, the cheering group, the energetic group with Trump. Here's the scared to death of COVID group over here with Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
This is not America. That's not America.
No, it's striking. The president wants to keep opening up the economy, get life back to normal as possible. Now, the president did say in the last debate, the virus is here and we're going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
And deal with it, Walker.
Right. Yeah. The on the polls, just looking at like Wisconsin, Real Clear was off pretty heavily in 2016 on their averages. Wisconsin had Clinton up 6.5
going into election
on the average going into election night. Trump won it by 0.7. So there was a 7.2 spread there where Real Clear got it wrong. And here's one of the reasons I think they're off. Not that Biden won't win some of these states, but the Real Clear included this the other day. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. They inserted this ABC News Washington Post poll of 789 likely voters with a margin of error of 4, showing Biden up 17 points in Wisconsin. 17 points in Wisconsin. And guess
it's
what?
Impossible.
They slid that into the Real Clear Politics average, and then boom, Biden goes up to 6.4 spread. So when you include polls.
Well, that included the newsroom.
Yeah, exactly.
The Washington Post, ABC newsrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, half the newsroom was in on that poll. So well, you, when you throw in ones that are like that, that skews the average so much to where I don't even know if you can look at that anymore.
Well, also Minnesota, I'm looking at two polls that are out today. One shows Biden up 5, and the other one shows Biden up 3. Well, again, that 4, if you want to say that's a 4% average, that's reachable mm-hmm. for the president. Now, all his folks have to come out. Granted, all his folks have to come out to be able to catch Biden, if Biden is indeed up 4 to begin with in Minnesota. But
did Trump win Minnesota or Hillary Clinton won?
Hillary Clinton won Minnesota. But Ray, let me ask you this. Maybe we back to Georgia for just a minute. You and I think all of us agree the president will win Georgia 4 or 5 points, probably maybe 6 or 7, 4 or 5 points. But what is it, Ray, about big cities that turn states blue? What's the psychology behind that? Because I'm talking about Atlanta, for example. The growth of Atlanta. Atlanta's like 6 million people now, and you see this happen. Illinois is red, except for Chicago. Pennsylvania's red, except for Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. What's the deal?
Well, one part of it, and the other guy should take a shot at this too, but one part of it is you have the youth vote. You've got colleges, universities in these big cities. Younger people flocking to the big cities because that's where the jobs are, where the education is, these cultural centers. And the young people tend to vote liberal, and a lot of folks who vote liberal young get conservative as they get older. So I think that's at least one part of what's happening in the big cities.
It's also the big cities is where big media is too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got papers, let's stick with Philadelphia for a second. Philadelphia Inquirer, they're going to go Democrat every time in their endorsements. And that's where the big TV stations are. So the media plays a big role in persuading people what to think.
Hey, the Biden campaign has just announced a new rally in Philadelphia for Saturday afternoon. It's Rally for Riders. is going to be Saturday afternoon.
Wait a minute. What?
It's called Rally for Riders. And it's going to be at the
Way you said that's almost completely believable.
It's going to be at the local shopping center.
At that Walmart.
Everybody who comes out gets TVs.
Washing machines.
machines, right.
It's not funny. I know I'm not laughing because people ride and loot. But I'm saying when you see a video of a fella coming out of a of a store with a – with a washing machine on a dolly.
On a dolly. Okay. That took some forethought. All right.
Can you imagine guys going in there, Walker, getting his washing machine. Hey, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
And I don't know what he put it in. Maybe he brought a truck.
It's baffling. They were dollying out kitchen and laundry appliances.
It's not funny, but it looks
funny. Out of Walmart and other places, and police were nowhere to be found. I mean, if I were the owner of that store, I'd be furious.
I got a question. Has Biden or Kamala, have they said anything about the rioting, the looting
Philadelphia?
Biden
and it's in D.C.
Yeah, Biden made a statement the other day saying, no way do we support the looting. We can't justify that.
Well, what the Democrats do, and especially Biden and Harris, they try to play both sides of the fence every time. They don't want to say anything critical of the rioters. Well, I mean, no, that's probably not fair. They don't want to say anything critical of the situation where it might seem like they're siding with the police, okay, in an incident. You know what I'm saying, Ray?
Yeah.
So they don't want to say anything that's commendable of the police to say, hey, the police were in the right here to defend themselves against a guy who was coming at them with a knife. They don't want to say that because it doesn't fit in with the BLM narrative, right? So they don't want to say anything critical that might be critical of the assailant there against the police officers or anything that would line them up with law enforcement. But then they say something like that, racial injustice, whatever. But they'll stick a paragraph in at the press on the end of a press statement to say, however, we don't condone the violence that's occurred and the rioting and the looting. That's against our. We don't believe in that either. So every time they try to play both sides of the fence. But I don't think that Biden or Harris said anything about Philadelphia. I think they issued a statement to which I just basically. You know, gave you the long and the short of it. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, talking about media. Well, yesterday there was a showdown of media of sorts. The big tech leaders, Facebook and Google and Twitter, were by virtue, they're on video.
They have virtue?
Oh,
by virtue.
By virtue, okay. Yeah. They were kind of a virtual hearing yesterday before the Commerce Committee. And one of those showing up was CEO Jack Dorsey of Twitter. And I tell you what, he took a tongue lashing from Texas Senator Ted Cruz because we know what's been going on. Big tech has been basically blocking the conservative points of view on their various platforms. And Texas Senator Ted Cruz took the opportunity to grill Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. Cut three.
Mr. Dorsey, does Twitter have the ability to influence elections?
No.
So you're testifying to this committee right now that Twitter, when it silences people, when it censors people, when it blocks political speech, that has no impact on elections?
People have choice of other communication channels.
Mr. Dorsey, I find your opening answers absurd on their face. But let's talk about the last 2 weeks in particular. You can sit in Silicon Valley and demand of the media that you can tell them what stories they can publish, and you can tell the American people what reporting they can hear. Is that right?
No. Every organization that signs up to Twitter agrees to a terms of service.
Mr. Dorsey, who elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear? And why do you persist in behaving as a Democratic super PAC?
Yeah. Senator Cruz.
Was Was he disagreeing with Dorsey there? I couldn't read. You can't read Cruz.
You couldn't be clear.
You can't read Senator Cruz sometimes. He's like a poker face voice. He sounds like a lawyer to me. Is Ted Cruz a lawyer?
I think so.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah. He used to be solicitor general.
Like he was making a closing argument in a courtroom. Well, he's right. The bottom line, if Twitter didn't believe they could influence elections, then they wouldn't censor anything, right? The reason they didn't want to help promote the New York Post story with the expose on Hunter Biden and the Biden family and their foreign money dealings is because he thought it might reflect poorly, as Twitter did, on Joe Biden. Hey, we'll be back. We got a very interesting conversation coming up with a gentleman, Dr. Wayne Grudem.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time.
Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't rule?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Every American ought to visit George Washington's Mount Vernon estate, south of Washington, D.C. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going to Mount Vernon on one of our spiritual heritage tours coming up in June and September 2021. Wanted to let you know about these tours already because they will fill up quick. So, for all the information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. We're going to be going to Yorktown, Jamestown, and Williamsburg as well on a separate trip. So much rich American history there to be experienced. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a nationally noted historian, and he's going to be with us along the way. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
When it comes to choosing a college, campus visits are important, but 2020 has made it tough to tour your top picks. At Liberty University, we understand, so we offer a variety of visiting opportunities. Tour campus from home with a virtual tour, or visit campus for a few hours for a daily campus tour. Dig a little deeper with Experience LU, a single-day event where you'll tour campus, meet with faculty and staff, and sample on-campus dining locations. Pick your perfect visit by texting VISIT to 49596. Again, that's VISIT to 49596.
A 13-year-old boy who says he's a girl has announced he believes gender is over. It's unnecessary. That's what the child said in a video shared by Pink News. I've decided not to identify the youngster, even though he has become something of a celebrity among grown adults in the LGBT movement. At 11 years old, he served as the Grand Marshal for the LGBTQ Pride Parade. He says his gender identity is male, but his gender expression is female. The little boy said in his video he enjoys hair, makeup, shopping, styling outfits. Just a few weeks ago, former Vice President Joe Biden told a crowd that even eight-year-olds should be allowed to decide their gender. What's happening to this child is nothing short of abuse and exploitation. God decides gender, not man. Be sure to download my free podcast. Listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, and thank you for listening to American Family Radio. If you want to join us on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. Facebook and YouTube, type in Today's Issues. Well, a lot of Christians, last election cycle at least, were wondering, do I vote for Donald Trump or not? Because I'm just not seeing a lot of fruits of the Spirit there. And in the end, the Christian community in the country, at least the evangelical Christians, I'm sure this is true of conservative Catholics, although conservative Catholics would say we're real Catholics, and they voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump when he faced Hillary Clinton, primarily because of the policies that the president was advocating for, which included the pro-life cause, judges who respected the Constitution. Those were two big ones, religious freedom, and, quite frankly, having a friendly relationship with the Christian community. And so, will that happen again this election cycle? There are some, like Dr. John Piper, the well-respected Bible teacher from Minnesota, who says he's not going to vote for President Trump or Joe Biden. Well, a gentleman we have on with us now wrote a response to John Piper in the Christian Post, and we are delighted to have with us right now our guest, Dr. Wayne Grudem, who is a professor of theology and biblical studies at Phoenix Seminary in Arizona. Dr. Grudem, this is Tim Wildman, and we thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tim. Good to be with you.
Okay, Walker is here with us. You don't have to remember last names or anything. Walker, Ray, and Fred, okay?
I got it.
Okay, Dr. Grudem. So you just can use pronouns there if you want to. Just hey, you.
Okay, but I'm talking to four people, not one, right?
That's right. That's right. So we got four of you, four of us here.
All right.
What was your column about that I'm referring to in the Christian Post?
Well, my longtime, lifelong friend, John Piper, who has stood with me on so many issues and with whom I agree in so many areas of the Bible and Bible teaching and theology, has written an article online in his very widespread, widely read Desiring God website, that he thinks that Donald Trump's character is such that it harms the nation, and he can't vote for him, and he, of course, can't vote for Joe Biden because of Biden's pro-abortion and sex or gender confusion policies and other policies that are so harmful. So he just decided that both candidates are not worthy of our vote. And I answered that.
And how'd you answer it?
I said there's a difference between the personality and character of a president and the laws that are passed. If a president is boastful or sexually immoral, people can say, I don't want to be like that. They can ignore the example. But you can't ignore a law. If a law says the Christian baker has to bake a cake celebrating a same-sex marriage and he doesn't do it, the law has power to either force you into bankruptcy or send you to jail. There's no choice. And so the policies have much more long-term influence and compulsory influence on a nation than the personality of a leader. And the other thing is, it seems to me, I haven't noticed anybody saying, President Trump is boastful, so I can be boastful too. Or he was unfaithful in his marriage, so I can be unfaithful in my marriage. People haven't been imitating that. People in both parties have been saying, well, we don't want to imitate those aspects of his character. So that was one thing I said. The other thing I said, Jim, was I have a much more positive evaluation of Donald Trump's character than my friend John Piper does. All I hear from much in the press is negative criticisms about him. As far as sexual morality, there's not been a hint of impropriety in his entire term in office, and he honors his wife Melania in public and his family. I would add some more things. He's been an unusually successful problem solver in business. He's raised remarkable children. I've heard many stories of his kindness and generosity. He's shown remarkable courage of his convictions. I was at a Trump rally yesterday here in the Phoenix area, and the leader of the Brexit campaign in the United Kingdom, Nigel Farage, was up on the platform for just a couple of minutes, and he said he has never known a human being in his lifetime who is more resilient and more courageous than Donald Trump. courage is, you know, Tim, it's a moral virtue. And Trump has amazing courage. He has faithfulness to his campaign promises. He's steadfast in purpose in spite of an amazingly hostile press. He's got incredible energy in the performance of his job. He has shown dignity and eloquence in his formal speeches and ceremonies in the United States and overseas. He's shown respect for his wife, Melania. I mentioned that. And he can stand in front of a press, a hostile press, and take questions for 30, 45 minutes and have knowledge of an unbelievable number of issues, detailed, up-to-date knowledge, wide-ranging understanding.
It's amazing. He does not get the credit for that. And like you, I've never seen anything like it in terms of the just savage attacks every day, all day, 24/7 from all directions incoming.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But, that's the strategy of the left. They can't win by arguing that their higher taxes are better for us. They can't win by arguing that their abandoning Israel is better for us. They can't win the popular sentiment of the people by arguing that abortion is better for the nation, or sex change surgery, or LGBT things. So they win by try to win by assassinating the character of their opponent. Mm. Instead of saying you have bad policies, you conservatives, they say you're a bad person. And if you support a conservative candidate, you're a bad person.
By the way, let me before Ray asks the next question, folks, this is our guest here, Dr. Grudem, has written an excellent column that you need to read and share with as many people as you know, especially Christians who maybe are undecided or they think they're not going to vote. You need to go and get this column. It's available. It was originally published in the Christian Post, so obviously we're giving them credit for publishing it, but we have it linked. We have it posted. We have it at our Facebook page, so just simply go to Today's Issues and click on there and read this and pass it around. Go ahead, Ray.
Dr. Grudem, one of the issues that you touch on in your column is the question of the character of the leaders of our country. Obviously, in Piper's column, he talks about Ahab and the kings of Israel. How do we make a proper distinction between what was essentially a theocracy in the Old Testament and in a democratic republic choosing leaders here for the United States of America? It doesn't seem to me that it's a one-on-one correspondence. So I suppose my question is, when Christians go to the poll, we obviously are voting for policies. How important is the leader's character in evaluating how we should vote?
Well, Ray, the leader's character is important. And I keep hearing people say, Christians say that character is important. It's important, but we have to weigh character carefully. Evaluation of another person's character is a complex process, and it requires careful judgment. And my evaluation of Donald Trump's character is much more positive, as I said a few minutes ago, than what has been occurring in the hostile press. But policies are very important. And character is not the only thing that matters. You can have a sterling character. Well, I heard Tony Perkins say the other day, you're not voting for a Sunday school teacher, you're voting for a president, a leader. And but Trump has appointed many Bible-believing, evangelical, outspoken Christians to high positions of leadership, starting with Mike Pence, his vice president that he chose. And then Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State, and Ben Carson as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education, Russell Vogt as Director of Office of Management and Budget, and many others, and then conservative Roman Catholics like Amy Coney Barrett. The character of those leaders is important, and it's also a role model for people in the nation.
Amen. Amen.
Old Testament kings were chosen often by God, but then by human successors, kings choosing their sons as successors. But we have a greater privilege here in the United States now. We can choose our leaders ourselves through voting, and I think that's what we have a responsibility to do.
Fred?
Yes, Dr. Grudem, Fred Jackson here. You know, just to kind of stay on the theme that Ray started us on here, one of the points that John Piper tries to make, he tries to compare and going back to the kings of Israel, King Jeroboam. But the kings in the Old Testament were condemned because they led the Jews into false religion. They rebelled against God. I'm not seeing the connection between King Jeroboam and Donald Trump. Donald Trump hasn't tried to lead the American people into a false religion or lead them away from Christian principles.
Absolutely. And I was talking to, well, I won't say, but John Piper and I agree 99.9% of the time on interpretation of Bible verses, but I think he got this one wrong. He thought that, he claimed that Jeroboam in 1 Kings 14:16 made Israel to sin, and he said that was through influence of his person or his personal character. But 1 Kings doesn't say that. It says in 1 Kings 12, just earlier, that Jeroboam set up gold. He made two golden calves and set them up in Bethel and Dan and said, "Behold your gods, O Israel." And so he set up idols and high places in northern in the northern kingdom where God had not told the people to come to worship. And then 1 Kings says this became a sin because the people went as far as Dan to be before one of these idols. He made temples in the high places and appointed priests who were not Levites. So he was setting up a system of false religion, and that's how he made Israel to sin. It doesn't say anything about imitating his immoral character. So I think John just got it wrong on that.
Well, what worries me, Dr. Grudem, and I know the reason you wrote this response here to your friend John Piper, is that John Piper has a big reach and a big following, and he could influence millions of, well, I don't know how many people, he could influence a lot of Christians across the country to not vote on Tuesday for his reasoning that you've responded to, and I think you won that debate. John Piper in 2012, endorsed Mitt Romney for president.
And I don't remember.
Yeah, he said he was voting for Mitt Romney. My friend pointed that out to me yesterday. He said, well, John Piper said he was voting for Mitt Romney in 12, not because, despite the fact that he was
Mormon.
He said, it's because I believe in his policies over that of Obama. And I'm just saying, why didn't that apply? Why didn't John Piper's reasoning apply today? And I would say this, too, in agreement with you, that I think President Trump gets is he abrasive sometimes? Is he sometimes even brash? And does he brag? Of course. That's his persona publicly. But it does. But he's not privately. He's evidently done something right with his children. Okay,
yeah.
I think we can agree. And also, but before he was elected president, before he ran for president, there was no hint of anything racism or anything like that.
No.
Now all of a sudden he becomes president, and they just say he's a racist all day.
That
every
means
day.
They agree. They disagree.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just,
well, Fred, let me say also about not voting for either candidate. If all the evangelical Christians in the United States decided to follow John Piper's example and not vote for either Biden or Trump, Biden would win in a gigantic landslide because evangelicals are the largest single voting bloc that supports Trump. If even just a million evangelicals decide to vote for either candidate, Biden will win. And the verse that comes to mind in this regard is Proverbs 25:26. Like a muddied stream or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
I think it's fair to characterize pro-abortion, pro-sex change candidates as wicked, morally wicked, pro-gay marriage candidates as morally wicked. And we have a chance to stop that.
Yeah.
But to vote for Trump and stop Biden from winning. But a righteous man who gives way before the wicked, the proverb says, is like a muddied stream or a polluted fountain. Well, a muddied spring, what does a muddied spring do? It gives you no water to drink. It's no good for mankind. And so a righteous man who gives way before the wicked is doing no good. It's not that he's doing evil. It's just that he has an opportunity to do something good and doesn't do it. He has an opportunity to stop the wicked, and he isn't stopping them.
That's good.
Amen. Very, very well said. We appreciate you being on with us, brother. And what's your day job there?
I teach at Phoenix Seminary. I teach theology and ethics.
Well, 22 books that our guest, Dr. Grudem, has written, and we appreciate you being on with us, and thank you so much, sir.
Good to talk with you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, Ray, you were talking during our program meeting this morning how much respect you had for Dr. Grudem.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. He is probably the best-known theologian among American evangelicals coast to coast, and I don't even know who would be number two. The church folks wouldn't know this. I mean, folks in the pews, but basically every American pastor, evangelical pastor, has Wayne Grudem's massive systematic theology in their library. I had my copy for many, many years. It's just the standard, Tim. And you could hear the I was listening to him talk, not just the understanding of the political situation, but tremendous grasp of biblical truth. He is a great man, great leader, and tremendous theologian. Glad we had him on today.
Yeah, that was a great guest. You know, this I'm not friends. I don't know John Piper personally, so I can speak a little more frank on that. His article, Dr. John Piper's article is toxic. It's a toxic view of a Christian's role in society. And imagine Paul in the New Testament disengaging from his Roman citizenship, not utilizing the court system. If he could have voted, not voting, totally.
Right, because Caesar
pulling his influence. Paul had opportunity after opportunity to influence Caesar, and he took advantage of that. He took advantage of it for Christ, for his purpose, for his calling. So as Christians in a country where we can actually vote for our mayor, our city council, our school board, for some local judges and for president, senator, congressman, to disengage and not show up at the ballot box because we don't like how someone talks is a huge mistake in today's society.
Well, I was also disturbed in Piper's article where he doesn't mention the word Trump or Biden, but we know who candidate they're talking about. He's talking about saying immoral. Well,
Are you talking about now? Or are you talking about in his past life?
He didn't distinguish that. That's the problem. You know, as Dr. Grudem pointed out, he's not aware that President Trump has been unfaithful to Melania.
Right.
But he's going back.
Right.
You know,
he's going back like
Christians all have passed.
Okay. Right.
Sins they have repented of.
Right.
And, you know, for Piper to go back, that's what the mainstream media does.
Right. According to John Piper's theory, transformation is not possible. Or transformation is not to be considered here. There's no way that Donald Trump is a different man than he was 20 years ago. Yeah. He must be the same
person.
That's
really unfair.
It is.
That's unfair for anyone.
It is.
That no one can move on from the mistakes
they've
made in the past.
Leader, for a Christian leader, the stature of John Piper to say that's disqualifying Donald Trump to be running for re-election because of that. With all that's at stake, listen, folks, do we all want people of character and Christian values and good morals, men and women, in offices of leadership at every level? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that that person's character is absolutely worth, it should be considered. All right. Now, including Donald Trump's and Joe Biden's, for that matter. But they're both flawed men, Biden and Trump. I mean, for everything you could say about Donald Trump, I could say something about Joe Biden.
Right.
And they do and the vice versa. So a lot of what the media and the left wing crowd calls lies by Donald Trump, they're not really lies. They are perhaps exaggerations. They are opinions or analysis or thoughts that the president has where he says something and they say he's lying again. I'll give you an example. Today, the president will probably say something like this. He'll probably say, this is the greatest economic comeback this country's ever had. Okay, then CNN's going to come on and say, you know, in 1984, there was an economic, blah, 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 blah. So this is actually not the greatest comeback. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the kind of nitpicking stuff they do now with President Trump on a daily.
Right.
But on a daily
basis. For them, they call that a lie.
They'll call that a lie.
Yeah. He should be impeached.
Fact check. Right. You know? So I don't buy the way that they... the media does that all, and they hate his guts, and they come at him day and night. The thing that they don't like about it, and I think turns off a lot of Christians, is that President Trump will come back at somebody and call him Crazy Nancy. Okay?
Right.
A lot of Christians say, that's unpresidential. We don't want our president calling people names. I agree with that, although that doesn't bother a lot of people. I wished he wouldn't do things like that. But we're talking about the future of our republic here. We're not so because somebody's personality may rub you wrong, you may not want to hang out with them, you know, on the weekend. Mm-hmm. We're talking about who's going to be the next CEO of America, right? And let me just say this. I would ask people like John Piper, Christians who say, I'm not going to vote for either one because I don't like either one's personality or I don't like the policies of Biden. I don't like the personality of Trump. Listen, let me just put it in this stark of terms, and Ray, you can comment. In California right now, churches are being shut down. They're being told what they can and can't do, and that's been going on for months, and it's going to keep going on indefinitely, it appears. John MacArthur's church being the most high profile that I know of, and we've had Dr. MacArthur on this program about this. That's a Democrat governor. Let me just say this. If you were to ask John Piper, Joe Biden wants to close your church down. Donald Trump wants to keep your church open. Who are you voting for? John Piper would say, I'm voting for Trump. Next question.
Right. And that's exactly right.
Yeah. Am I right, Ray? Am I right?
Yeah, you're 100% right. And among many of the other issues, religious freedom, the right of churches to open, it's on the ballot this coming Tuesday. If Joe Biden gets in, we're going to, besides everything else he's going to do, he is in favor of another draconian lockdown, shutdown of the economy to try to stop the pandemic. And churches have been fighting all over the country for the right to meet, guaranteed by the First Amendment. The contrast couldn't be greater. Trump has said churches are essential. He's right. So remember that when you go vote.
Yeah, the issues on the ballot, to Ray's point, when you look at the, we actually offer a party comparison guide that we've put out in recent days. You can find it on our website, afaaction.net. It compares the two parties on the issues, and so voters need to look at that, and they need to weigh out the positions of both parties.
Hey, listen, I don't think a man who is as crude and as mean-spirited as the Democrats make Donald Trump out to be every day could have so many solid believers, Christian believers, surround him. We're going on 4 years now. I just don't believe it. And personally, having been around the president in person for a two-hour dinner one time at the White House, I was fortunate enough to be invited to that. I saw him. He said, I'm going to sit down now, and I want y'all to talk for the next 30 minutes or hour or whatever it was. He was very cordial, very friendly, and also he listened a lot to what people had to say. So I just don't buy the caricature of the left on President Trump. We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.